You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Every year, Canadians throw out the equivalent of about 5.5 million computers. That's a fraction of 1% of the total e-waste produced globally. In April, Free Geek Vancouver qualified as an e-steward by upholding the most rigorous international standard for social and environmental responsibility around, and that is the Electronic Recycler's Pledge of True Stewardship, designed by a global e-waste watchdog, the Basel Action Network. Free Geek is a non-profit computer recycling and reuse center where volunteers help test, refurbish, or dismantle unwanted computer equipment. No experience is required, and volunteers receive free computers and workshops. Free Geek supports its activities through a computer thrift store and recycling revenue. Iflina Chance is a co-founder and one of the coordinators of Free Geek Vancouver, and she's with me in the studio. Hello, Iflina.
Good morning.
Now, what do you do with the computer equipment that people donate to Free Geek?
Well, we do a process of evaluation, first of all. Our number one objective is always reuse, and so we always try to see if a system can be refurbished and fixed. So that's one of the things that volunteers do. They help us test it and sort it. They run it through a triage, those types of things. They learn how to identify parts in the process so that they're happy, we're happy, because it means that we're able to provide services to the community. So we also have a data destruction stream as well. So we don't really care if people have erased their data or not, because we just do it anyway.
Right.
A lot of people don't know how, and a lot of people do it insufficiently. So even if something something is reused, certainly we're going to use a disk that's tested and wiped. And if something is recycled, if we send the hard drive out for recycling, we still crush it. So
people shouldn't be concerned about any kind of privacy issues if they give you their computer then.
I think people should always be concerned about it. I mean, really, you kind of do want to take responsibility for your own data. And we have stuff on our website people can download and destruct their own data if they want to. But I think that, you have to think about what's realistic, right? Is somebody really going to really care hard enough to get an electron microscope and look at your data? Probably not, unless you're being investigated for some heinous crimes.
So, and you just take computer stuff. You don't take other electronic waste then?
Well, we take computer-related items. So we take faxes and printers as well, peripherals, scanners. And we also take rechargeable batteries and cell phones for recycling as well.
Okay. And why is the principle of reuse so important for computer equipment?
Oh, such a good question. Reuse is really important because it actually reduces consumption in the long run, for one thing. You don't have to extract as many virgin materials through mining activities, and mining actually is one of the greatest contributors to global gases and greenhouse warming at the moment. It's also the cause of a lot of wars all over the place. If you look at Congo, there are wars over extracting coltan, which goes into most electronics. So that's part of it. Also then, you have to manufacture this stuff, and it's a very toxic process as well. And not only that, but you have to distribute it. So then you're looking at all the costs and fees for transport. If we have these computers that are just, they're ready to be used with a little bit of love, then why shouldn't they just be redistributed in the local community? It's a kind of a long-term solution to a very pressing problem.
We're so familiar with the computers and we see them everywhere, we probably don't even think about what goes into making the computers and what goes into a circuit board, but there's some quite unusual resources that come from all over the world that go into them.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean, if you were to try to source the stuff that goes into a computer, you would definitely hit many countries on the map. And they seem really benign, computers. I mean, they're designed to be pretty, they're designed to be sleek, all these things, but really they contain a lot of toxic materials, and these have dire effects. If they're not processed properly at their end of life, they enter the biosphere, they bioaccumulate, which means the higher up you go in the food pyramid, the more you actually have life forms ingesting and retaining these toxins.
What kind of materials that we would be familiar with?
Things like lead and barium, beryllium, cadmium, things that even if you just ingest them, they can cause all sorts of nervous disorders. If you burn them at an insufficient heat, they enter the atmosphere, they enter the biosphere, they create dioxins and furans, which are are really the most destructive substances in the earth because they're only human created. They don't occur naturally. And, you know, even if you expose them to the atmosphere or to the elements, I know people have really good intentions when they leave a computer in the alleyway. They know it's worth a lot of money. They want to share it with somebody. But the way to do it is not by leaving it in, you know, where it's going to get rained on or maybe broken apart by people who are, you know, scavenging for some of the copper materials inside. So it's the best thing you can do is kind of bring it to a place that, you know, is a bit of a clearinghouse for community activity.
Now, you have at Free Geek an ethical stance of reusing and recycling locally. What are the environmental justice concerns behind, I guess, the opposite, which would be exporting computers for disposal?
Well, it's such a good question, and it's such a good, I think, dialogue for people to really be to be getting into, to be really responsible computer users and responsible global citizens as well. One of the things I didn't mention in your question about toxins was brominated flame retardants, and they are, I'll say it slow, brominated flame retardants. They're very nasty. They're called BFRs for short, and they're, you know, they're relatively close relative of PCBs. They're quite nasty, and they're in all computer plastics, and in fact, most home electronics. They are something that if workers are exposed to them or if they are kind of dumped and burned, which is the common practice with this stuff, even if they're recycled, I mean, recycling sounds really nice, but it encompasses a whole range of practices. So, you know, the best use for computer plastics right now is to really just see them disappear as much as we possibly can. And the options for plastics right now, well, there is recycling that goes on where they shred it and they try to make it into new plastic. But where does that happen? That happens in a country, that happens largely in China. And unfortunately, the Chinese government doesn't have the ability to have proper environmental enforcement and worker protections. So what you get is you have to actually sort computer plastics too, because you have different generations of them. So they'll make one. In order to sort them, you can do it visually, but there are some that you can't, so you have to actually take a lighter and hold it up to the plastic and light it and smell the smoke, and that will tell you which pile you have to put it in for recycling. That's something that's so harmful to a person working with it. It's an endocrine disruptor. It's something that, again, accumulates in your body. It's passed on through breast milk. And a lot of women work in these computer scrapping industries in these poor nations, and they're of childbearing age. So it's something that, again, is immediately passed on. We want to see computer recycling go in accordance with the Basel Convention. The Basel Convention, Canada signed it in 1994, I believe. And it's the only treaty in the world on waste and its movement, right? Mm-hmm. But really, waste activism is becoming such an important thing because, especially with a toxic stream, right, that's worth a lot of money. So Canada's responsibilities are to not export hazardous waste to countries that don't want it. It sounds really simple, but we don't enforce it. So really, we're trying to make...
So how much stuff goes out of the country then?
It's really hard to say because a lot of it's smuggled illegally, right? But estimates range between 50 to 80%, leaning heavily in the 80% direction. 80%, it's amazing.
So we have to kind of rethink what recycling means, because if we've got people doing this kind of work and separating it, and that is in fact recycling, but it doesn't have that nice friendly kind of...
That's right. It's not green.
It's not green. Yeah. So what do you do then that's different?
Well, and you asked about social justice too. I mean, we see it in a sense as a social justice issue that... there are workers and there are governments who have asked specifically not to have toxic waste dumped on them. They can't stop it from coming in the country. So we as an export country have to actually get in there and get involved. What do? We investigate our downstream. When we started in Vancouver, we had so much trouble finding recyclers who would tell us where they sent their stuff, which is weird. If I'm a customer, I should be able to know, right? But they're not used to that. The industry has very low standards, and so they're used to being able to do business as usual. And if they're not secretive, then they're ignorant about it. They don't know, or they say they know, or they think they know, or they'll say, oh, well, we do recycling in Surrey or Burnaby or, you know, New Westminster. Well, there's no smelter out there. Right? That's not the end of life. So what we try to do is encourage people to be a bit more sophisticated and be suspicious about anybody telling them.
So have you been able to find out where all the stuff goes now?
I can tell you where our stuff goes.
You know, so now you know.
Okay. Oh, we, you know what? We stockpile stuff that if we can't find a good downstream for it. From the very beginning, that was something that was our policy and that we strove for. It was just really difficult to find people who we could work with. But like I said, I mean, we stockpiled monitors for I don't know, 6 months until we could find a place where they would make, where we could be sure they would be destroyed in Canada. The ones that fail only, right? Because again, you want to do reuse, and then the stuff that fails, okay, now you can look at destruction or materials recovery. But really, there's so many people that need a computer, and there's so many computers that people don't want. So why not match? It's like matchmaking, right? I mean, the average age of a computer is 2 years old. I don't have any problem using a computer that's that age. Most of the things I need to do, right? Internet, email, all that stuff, watching movies. So.
Okay. And is there actually a safe way then to deal with some of those horrible chemicals and plastics?
It's a good question. It's about harm reduction, ultimately. Like, if anybody tells you, oh, environmental recycling for computers, it's a dream. This stuff is not made of cotton candy. You have to kind of tailor the recycling for each material. For example, something like a CRT monitor, which is really problematic because it's got lots of lead in the glass. It's got this BFR-laden plastic surrounding it. You want to make sure that it's not going overseas where they're going to crack the plastic off, break off the copper yoke inside with a hammer, expose themselves to a phosphor compound inside that's going to kind of go in their face, and then touch the leaded glass with their fingers. I mean, the outside of the computer screen is coated, right? So you don't actually absorb the lead by touching the front of the screen, but the back is not. And then these things normally just get dumped. So all of our monitors go to a smelter in BC. Smelters are not shouldn't be your first choice, but
as you say, it's harm reduction.
Yeah, exactly. And something like a motherboard, a circuit board and a RAM and processors, those have a lot of gold on them, which is great because for us, that helps us to fund our activities. But again, it's a high value item. So you got to make sure that it goes to a place that's responsible. We send ours to a place, that's the only stuff we send outside of Canada. And it goes to Mount Vernon, which is just over the border, to another e-steward. And this is why the Basel Action Network is great, because they have shared all of the research that they've done and the vetting that they've done of this downstream with the public. You can go to their website and see like all these people that they've looked at and all these companies that they've looked at, and then they can kind of help matchmake between good players. We want to build alliances with people who have the same objectives, which is a healthy future. I mean, values like sharing of resources, being open, being transparent. So it's really essential, especially for recyclers, to always be transparent and for the public to demand it and to not take any other answers.
And do you also work on the front of trying to stop the other recycling companies get the Canadian government to act on its commitment to the Basel Convention?
Well, I mean, one of the things that we do, we run as a collective, we're consensus based. So we invite the public to kind of come and get involved. They can come to our meetings and get on our mailing lists and things like that. So those are tools, I guess, for people to not only become informed, but also become active. I think that the activism that is played out when somebody just comes down and wants to help in the recycling stream is really important. But also, you're right, there are some bigger issues. We have from the beginning we're very critical of everybody. We're kind of annoying. We're like the goody two-shoes that calls people on their bluffs. And so from the beginning of the provincial recycling program, for example, we've always been very outspoken about what we think are its strengths and what we think are its weaknesses. And that certainly has had, I think, an impact. It's certainly ramped reuse up as a priority. That doesn't mean it's happened yet. I think that the public kind of thinks if you bring your stuff to the provincially mandated depots, like to Ancorp and to the Salvation Armies, that it's going to go to somebody that needs it, but that's not true. It all gets ground up and smelted, no matter what it is. So we certainly we're pretty dogged. Like, I spoke at the Recycling Council of BC's annual general meeting last month, and again reiterated, look, guys, this is what we all need to be focused on. If we're not, we're irresponsible. We actually got an award from them for being, I guess, the best nonprofit recycler 2007, which is great, but what I want to see is more attention paid on a national level and on a provincial level. And keep in mind, too, that in Vancouver, we have the Port of Vancouver, right? This is where much of this stuff is leaving our nation for illegal destinations.
Tell me a little bit about the store, because I know you get 80% of your budget from the thrift store. Tell me a little bit about the store.
Okay, well, it's a place that attracts a wide range of people. I mean, somebody who's maybe a hobbyist or likes to play around with computers and needs little parts and stuff, that's where those go. Some really obscure items as well, that's where they go. Basically, stuff that's not suitable for giving out to volunteers or to nonprofits, it kind of ends up there. Also, some people don't have time to volunteer for a free computer, so they can come in and get one for very cheap. And again, that's in line with reducing consumption, right? Because people shouldn't really need to be buying new computers unless they're like... animators or, you know, hardcore professional gamers. So that's a nice thing that we can provide the company, the public, and it's fun because you come down and poke around and see what's in the bins.
So what do you think is the most important for somebody listening who doesn't necessarily want to volunteer with Free Geek but wants to be responsible about their computer use? Mm-hmm. What do you think the most important take-home point is?
Be really aware of how you fit in to this trade, this toxic trade, and do as much as you can to extricate yourself by being aware. Just by being aware, asking questions is really good. I would encourage people to bring stuff to us only because then I, as a citizen, I know where it goes. So I would encourage people to try to practice the same awareness.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Ifni.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
I've been speaking with Ifni LaChance. She's from Free Geek Vancouver. Their website is freegeekvancouver.org, and you can contact them at 604-879-GEEK, which is 604-879-4335.